was Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch, telling us that it is 10 p.m. on a Thursday night here in Houston, Texas at KPFT, and time for So What's Your Story? The only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling, and it's right here on listener-supported 90.1 KPFT. In Houston, I'm Laura Sheinkoff, Rabbi Laura Sheinkoff. I'm your host this evening. This is my very first night to host the show solo. And fortunately, I have Jacob Reiner on the boards. What does that mean, by the way, on the boards, Jacob?
It means that I am running the soundboard.
The soundboards, right. Okay, the soundboard. So we have you here, and you wanted to make a couple of little announcements for us?
Yes, that's right. Starting January, the Houston Storytellers Guild monthly story swap will now be held on the fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Museum of Printing History, which is at 1324 West Clay, near the intersection of Wall Drive and West Dallas. It's a beautiful venue. Get all the essential information at www.houstonstorytellers.org.
Thank you so much. So what Jacob was telling us again is that we draw heavily from Houston area storytellers. And every week we devote to individuals who are storytellers. And we have a lot of them here who are very good storytellers. And one of them happens to be someone I've known for a very long time and someone that probably everyone in Houston, I think, must know at this point, because I consider you to be kind of like the Kevin Bacon of Houston, if you know that game show, you know, where there's a movie, it's always related to Kevin Bacon. If it's art or something like that, it is related to my guest, Sarah Gish, who is sitting here to my left.
Thank you for having me on. It's so much fun to be here, especially 10 o'clock at night.
I know.
This is awesome. What a great time to be here.
I know, because I just had a cup of coffee, and I never do that. But now I have to do that.
You are going to be wired for sound.
I'm wired, but it's worth it to be with you in the booth, because the reason I asked you here is because you probably have told stories in almost every different genre, film, visual arts, speaking, writing, publishing, everything.
Art cars, right, exactly.
So, hey, Jacob, I can't hear myself, but I'm assuming that everybody out there can still hear me. Okay, that's good. So what I consider to be a good storyteller is a person who can zoom in on the truth of something. Find that kernel of a person's story that is relevant to other people. And you've done that. You've sort of made a living at it. I don't know how you've managed to do that, but you've actually...
I don't make a living at it. What are you talking about?
You work a lot.
I'm alive. I work, but I'm not making a living at it.
Well, you are a local artist, a publicist, a teacher, an entrepreneur, and you've managed to make this your worldview, really. You've managed to make a living at it.
Stories are my life, really.
Yes, right. Yeah. And I've always said that you're kind of like, you're a little bit Jewish.
I'm very Jewish.
You're very Jewish.
Yeah, I'm very Jewish.
That's right, Jewish. But if you did a Google search of Sarah Gish, it'll just light up like a Christmas tree.
Actually, you'll find a girl in Kansas City that writes lovely restaurant reviews.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Because when I did the Google search thing that you pay for or whatever, it always came up with her. And I was like, I'm done with this.
Is she a good writer?
She's a great writer,
right,
but
so
she's not me. So
yeah,
whatever.
No, no one's you. No, it's true. Let me tell people why you come to this. I mean, Sarah grew up here in Houston. And she started in marketing and public relations in 1985, and she has an art degree, a bachelor's degree in art history. And she took a little detour teaching English as a second language in Japan for 3 years, and then returned to Houston and continued to work in education and the arts and marketing. So after working as the city manager and publicist for Landmark River Oaks Greenway Theaters, she launched Gish Creative.
My third child.
Yes. In 2000, which is probably around the time I met you, I think.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. So before I ask you to tell us another story, I just want to I want to reiterate something, which is that your work itself is about connecting things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Connecting
absolutely.
People. It's all about connection. If anyone's read The Tipping Point, Malcolm Gladwell, you know, you're like the example of the networker that he talks about.
Mm,
but
yeah,
for you,
I love that.
The networking is sort of the art, too,
mm-hmm.
right? So I wanted to tell people that, you know, you've been creating networks online for, you know, as long as I've known you, probably.
I've been networking since I was
right
coming out of the womb.
Yeah.
I started networking and connecting my parents, actually.
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
But no, I love to connect people. And yeah. I think it's because I feel like everyone has a story.
You right.
know, everyone has a story. It doesn't matter. I mean, on the way over here, I mean, this is hilarious. This is great for the show because on the way over here, I'm bopping around my art car. You know, the music's loud. I see my street homeless friend. I never know if they're homeless or street people, but I roll down my window because I always give crackers and water to street people. And the guy goes, "Sarah, what's my name?" And I'm like, Jamie, Joan, you know. And he's like, "Gerald, don't you remember my name, Sarah?" You know,
right.
So it's like,
yeah.
you know, everybody has a story.
Right.
That's
right.
That's my thing.
Right. So you had, when did you start Gish Picks? You have an email that goes out about family-friendly events in Houston every week.
Yes.
And a book called The Summer Book, which has become very popular about
what's online now.
Online.
Just online. Yep,
summer
yep.
Books Online, which is summer programs for kids in Houston.
Yes.
And then you started something called Ignite Your Life in 2013.
Well, Spirit Picks, too, is another newsletter that I do. But yeah, Ignite Your Life, I started in 2013. Yeah.
So, and that's the thing that made me think how we should really talk and have you in here and tell some stories, because I was familiar with all your work in the community, right? But what I really like about Ignite Your Life, which I want you to explain in a minute, is that it is about individuals, right?
Yes.
And bringing those individual stories out through your artwork, because you're a photographer, and then through also your ability to interview people and really your ability to, you know, allow people to just open up to you, which is really a unique skill, too. So tell me about Ignite Your Life and how it started.
Sure. And Ignite Your Life, just for people that want to know, it's igniteyourownlife.com. So that's a really easy thing to remember, igniteyourownlife.com, because I really feel like people need to ignite their own lives. You know, I got into some codependency stuff around mm-hmm. addiction, and I realized it's your own. You've got to enlighten your own life, although we can inspire each other. But the project started, I mean, my brother died of alcoholism back in 2004. Mm-hmm. And when that happened, I knew I wanted to do something with that situation, with that event in my life, because it was really an epiphany moment.
Yeah.
And I was sober at the time. I've been sober. January 8th of 85 was when I got sober. So this coming year will be 31 years
wow.
living in recovery. And it's an awesome way of life. It's not for everybody. But for me, I needed to do it because I was an addict and alcoholic. And when my brother died, I felt like, gosh, if people just could be ignited for their lives. And it took a while to formulate that word and what mm-hmm. what words I wanted to wrap around this whole thing, you know, because I'm a writer and an artist. So I needed words.
Right.
And so to me, ignite your life, ignite is the perfect word, because it really means, it's from Latin, ignire, but it means two things coming together. And so, you know, you can't, if you think about a flame or a fire, you can't have a fire without two things coming together, you know, a spark. And so igniting your life is about connection. I mean, that's what it is. It's about connection. It's what you're talking about, the stories. And because when you're connected to yourself, to other people, to your spirit creator, whatever you want to call that, you're ignited, you mm-hmm. know, and you're less likely to fall into addiction, loneliness, anxiety, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, and I also have to say this caveat that there's also the chemical part of it too. You know, if you get into the addiction and you're chemically addicted to something, it didn't matter if you're ignited or not, you know,
right.
if you're going to give into your addiction. But, mm-hmm. but yeah, so it started with that, with my brother passing away. And then it's just blossomed up to so many other things where it is now. And there's just all kinds of stuff. I'm making bracelets with sober teens. I'm, you know, doing road trips. I'm, you know, I was telling you before we started that I want to do a deck of 52 cards with people's photos on them from the project. I have people hold a sign that says, "How will you ignite your life?"
Right.
And I've got hundreds of photos. I mean, I can't, it's, I actually keep the sign in my car because I just, it's so hard for me to not, you know, want to stop and take photos of people and get their story. Every person I've talked to and taken photos of, there's a story with it.
Right, right. No, I was thinking about that famous quote from Dickens, quote from David Copperfield, where he says, "And if I should be the hero of my own life, or if this will be hailed by some other person, let these pages show," something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, when you first started talking about Ignite Your Life, I thought of that because what it really is about like trying to help people locate their internal source of inspiration, right?
So absolutely. Yeah. And just to connect people. I mean, I'd say that the goal of Ignite Your Life is to inspire people around the world, because I want this to be a world thing, to light a fire to their own passions and to create connections among people.
Right.
You know, and it's just crazy because I went to California twice because there's a lot of reasons for going to California. It's a long, I won't go into it all, but part of it is my parents are from California. Mm-hmm. And so I spent some time out in Berkeley last go around a couple of months ago because my parents met at UC Berkeley, lived there. You know, I went to the house that they lived in when they were younger, you know, undergrads going to Berkeley, and just to really kind of soak up the atmosphere. But when I was in California last year, what I do is I go to a city and I look around and I'm just kind of like John Belushi, you know, when he's doing the jumping thing. That's me, because I'm looking for my next subject, you know, who's going to be the next person that I interview. And so I was walking around in Chinatown just trying to figure out, this was a year ago in San Francisco, just trying to figure out, where do I want to go? I've got my camera, I've got my sign. And I see this adorable little Japanese man. And I walk up to him, and this is how I always start out. "Hi, my name is Sarah, and I'm an artist." And that always lets me get away with things.
Oh, so, I didn't know that's an intro.
Yeah,
that's a good intro.
Yeah, that's my intro. I'm an artist. And
I'm
then
an
they're
artist.
Like, okay, this is something that's really weird is about to happen. And so I started talking to his name is Takashi, and I started talking to him and his friend. And they were just fascinated with my project. And so, of course, they immediately posed and were excited and all that. And then we went to a nearby coffee shop and had, you know, ramen noodles, you know, talked, spent the next 3 hours. And I was like, dudes, I've got to go somewhere. I was trying to rock the labyrinth, actually, and at Grace Cathedral. But, you know, I spent 3 hours with him, and I learned that Takashi is a Hiroshima survivor.
Wow.
And, you know, that could not have happened if I had just been wandering around, bustling down San Francisco, trying to go to Starbucks. You know,
right.
It's because I looked around, saw what was around me, and just picked up on it. And then I went and stayed with him this time. I went back, and he's got an amazing story. I mean, he was a survivor, the only one in his whole family that survived, 8 years old when the bomb dropped.
Wow.
And the crazy part is, as you said in the intro, that I live in Japan. So I've been to Hiroshima.
Mm-hmm.
So we have this complete connection. And I mean, I just have hundreds of stories like that. I mean, every one of them is a story.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at like the humans of New York. I mean, it's a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like with my project, I don't, and this sounds bad, but I don't go in as deep as he does in some ways, because I ask a different question. It's the same question. He kind of gets their whole story. I ask the same question over and over again. How do you ignite your life? And when you ask people that simple question, it's amazing the answers you get, because it gets right to the chase.
So what did the Hiroshima survivor guy say when you asked him that question?
Oh, people telling his story, connecting, art. He's an artist too.
Okay.
He's got this amazing art. You know, there's been movies about him. He's written a book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of this. And I tried to get him to go to the Asia Society this year, but that didn't work out. So hopefully he'll come to Houston at some point.
You know, the thing I like about the project in general is that, you know, right now we live in this era where we're obsessed with knowing people's, you know, life story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we almost like memoirs, and we want like the gory details, right? And sometimes it feels exploitative to me when people just share and overshare, right? And the thing I like about your project is that you zoom in on the piece of it that is sort of constructive and makes it shareable. Relevant,
oh, yeah. I mean, another great story is I was driving to, this was when I was just in California. I was obsessed. I love garlic, and garlic is one of the ways you ignite your life. I swear to God, and it keeps away cancer. It does all kinds of amazing things. And so my goal was to get to Gilroy, the garlic capital of the world. Mm. And so I am driving, trying to get to Palo Alto and Gilroy and all this other stuff, and knowing I have this crazy schedule. And it's about 6 o'clock, and I'm realizing, okay, all the little cute little garlic shops have closed, you know, so I need to do something else. So I pull off into Gilroy, and I see this little sign that says Chamber of Commerce Happy Hour here. And I'm like, oh, pay dirt. Yeah. Pay dirt. So I pull up into the happy hour, and there's cute little Velma in the front. And
Her name was Velma, too?
Velma, yeah. I mean, it was straight out of, like, yeah. True Stories, you know, the scene here at the Gilroy happy hour. And it was hilarious. And I said, well, listen, I'm an artist, of course. I have to start out that way.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm trying to find somebody with garlic. You know, I need to talk to somebody about how they ignite their lives. And she goes, well, you know, Brian or whatever his name is. I think it's Brian. Brian is here. He's the head of the garlic festival. And I said, oh, my gosh, I need to talk to Brian. So I pull him in the middle of this cocktail party. I pull Brian aside.
Were people standing a fair distance away from Brian, like, because of his garlic?
No. This is a whole town that smells like garlic.
Oh, my God.
It's the garlic capital of the world. Are you kidding me? So it's like everybody's garlicky. And I love garlic. So I'm talking to Brian, and he says, you know, I said, I know you're at a party. You're trying to have a good time. You're trying to schmooze people. But I just need to know how you ignite your life, you know, just real quick. And he goes, you know, I ignite my life, of course, with garlic. And then, but he said, I am a cancer survivor. I have the same kind of cancer, carcinoid cancer that killed Steve Jobs. And I wake up every morning glad to be alive.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you very much. Got in my car and left. You know, and it was like, that's it. You know, I've made a friend for life. Mm-hmm. I got what ignites his life. He's suffering from carcinoid cancer. He knew Houston because he's come here for treatments, you know, but that one little, it was literally 10-minute interaction sparked a connection that will continue. And so when I get the project going, I mean, the project is going, but when I get his picture in the book, you know, et cetera, we'll reconnect, we'll have stories. I mean, it's just great. It's a beautiful thing.
So do you think you have to have like a huge challenge to overcome in order to ignite your life?
Oh, no, no, absolutely not. You can be born perfectly happy
because
and not have angst and ignite your life. Absolutely.
Right.
That's a good question, though.
So, because it does seem that all these incredible people, like they, when you say ignite, it's more than just, oh, I want to sit around and think of something worthwhile to do with my life. It really is kind of like the spark to me connotes something that is created out of some kind of friction, like you said.
Well, and that's a good question, because really the secret is that we all have challenges to overcome, every one of us. And so that's what makes us human, you know? And I've been working with Betty Adam and talking about compassion also. So compassion is a huge part of igniting your life. But I think it's when you say the word, I'm igniting my life, you think about burning it down to the core. What is the thing that really drives you? And often we do that thing, whatever it is that drives us. Like, let's say for me, you know, I love swimming. I'll do swimming no matter what. But in order to ignite, you have to push aside other things, and you do have to overcome challenges. I don't know if that even makes sense.
Yeah.
It does
yeah.
in my own mind. But,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, I think that, you know, that question is just such a beautiful question. I mean, another story, I've got lots of stories, but I was at a very kind of boring Los Angeles cocktail party. Boring, not that it wasn't. You know, it was just not my scene. It was kind of foo-foo.
Oh, come on.
You know, the la-la land. And I can, you know, everything is my scene, quite frankly. But that's, what am I talking about? But I was standing in line and getting ready to talk to the cocktail artist who's like mixing up the drinks. And I get to him and I say, you know, what ignites your life? And I'm filming him, actually, because I this is what I like to do, is also do little iPhone films. And he goes, you know, walking in the woods and reading books. And here we are, this shishi cocktail artist, you know, talking about 25-year-old, you know, balsamic, whatever, vinegar that he's putting in the drinks.
Right.
But he likes walking in the woods and reading.
Right.
You know? And
right.
How cool is that?
Yeah. And that's a great segue, too, for, I just wanted to read, like, the 12 things that ignite your life.
The 12 ways to ignite your life.
The 12 ways of igniting your life. And I do like the 12. I mean, was that based on the 12-step idea?
You know what? It came up. There's, I could tell you long stories about how it got to 12.
Yeah.
But that's where it ended up.
12. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's great.
So here's the 12 ways to ignite your life daily. Trust in spirit, which is trust. Take care of yourself. Meditate each morning. Commune with nature. Listen to your heart. Be of service. Connect with love. allow forgiveness, always be grateful, explore your creativity, learn something new, and enjoy life.
And that's what we're doing right now.
Yes, laughter. Yes. That's the thing, too. I have noticed that people who have come through something, are on the other side of something, usually do have the ability to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's pretty, you know what I mean? I've noticed that kind of skill, life skill, usually you have to, somewhere along the line, you have to just like,
yeah, you
this is ridiculous,
do.
Right?
And I think, you know, and I've learned a lot. I took, to talk about Betty again, this compassionate course that's out of Stanford, actually, compassionate cultivation training. And the thing that about compassion and igniting your life is that you have to see, like I just said, the humanness in other people.
Right.
And when you see the humanness, you can go, you know, like I have people over at my house tonight to make bracelets for the project, and I've got dishes in the sink, I've got laundry on the couch, you know, everything's everywhere, and yet they were in my house, and you know, whatever. It's like we're human, you know,
yeah.
we are messy people, and
right.
you know, I think so much that we try to go out there and present this perfect, you know, face and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm one to talk. I mean, I filter a lot of my photos. What can I say?
Right.
But you know, we're an unfiltered life. That's really who we are.
Right.
We're an unfiltered life.
Well, like you were saying, when you walk up to someone on the street and you start by saying, I'm an artist, it gives you this entree to go right to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. And
absolutely.
So all of the superficial stuff that we have to deal with, I mean, this, in some ways the project is like a good way for you to get to talk about what's really important.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Or have them on a radio show and lock them in the sound booth like I've done with you. That's another way to get people to talk about
it. Oh, yeah. But so I want to make sure I talk this story about Peggy Oakey.
Yeah,
because I love Peggy Oakey. And, you know, my brother, again, and always, my brother's name is Jeffrey Gish, so I should say that because I just love that guy dearly. And I'm very, very sad on a daily basis that he passed away. But I keep his memory alive. And one of the things that Jeff loved to do was skateboard. And he tried surfing, but skateboard was his thing. And he and I made a big deal of going to see the movie Dogtown and Z-Boys when it came to town. We brought my older son, Alexander, because he also liked to skateboard. And in that movie, there is this one woman. There's a Z-girl. She's not really a girl. She was just one of the boys. But mm-hmm. Dogtown and Z-Boys is takes place in Venice, California. And it's about the group of people that were surfers. And they took skateboarding from a horizontal sport to a vertical sport. So they are the ones that we can thank for the half pipe,
wow.
you know, all the stuff that Tony Hawk does. This was all in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just huge fans of that movie, of the people in it, you know, Peggy, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't really know much about her. So I'm out in California again last year. And this friend of mine says, well, you know, you should put in your project because Peggy Oakey.
Wow.
And I was like, Peggy Oakey, are you kidding me? And she's not a household name, but she definitely is someone that people love and respect. And so I went to her place, you know, in Carpinteria, California.
Mm-hmm.
She's right on the beach. You know, she has her signature surfboard. I got a great photo of her on her surfboard with her. No, she's holding her surfboard on her signature skateboard.
Right.
And, you know, what ignites her life is marine animals in the ocean. And she's a big ocean activist now. And
right.
we become friends, you know. And she came into town and was here for a skateboarding festival with Tony Silva. And I got a great photo of the two of them together. And it went viral. So it's just
right.
kind of, it's fun. I mean, these things are, like, I never would have connected with this person if I hadn't told people I was doing this project.
Right.
Not your life. So.
Yeah, and just to get back to your brother, Jeff, who, you know, obviously this is a wonderful way to honor him, to just even be engaged in the work that you're engaged in, right?
Yeah.
But explain to me how Ignite Your Life and the search for that sort of came up in terms of Jeff. Like, some people would choose to honor someone who succumb to a disease by just talking about the disease.
Right.
Right. And in some ways, you've chosen to talk about what was missing.
Right. Yeah. With his life. Yeah. Well, it's funny because it kind of took on many different forms. Originally, it was I would do I Can Fly. I Can Fly workshops because Jeff used to say about my older son, boys just want to have air. Boys just want to fly.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. I didn't know that came
from
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It came from that. So I Can Fly. And then it just somehow, I don't even know how it went over to Ignite Your Life. It was when I was celebrating my 10-year anniversary of Gish Picks in the Summer Book. I started talking about how I ignite lives, but it just kind of, it really just took on, I don't even know where it came from, frankly, but it came out of that, I think, and just kind of took on a life of its own. So, you know, and to me, God, there's so many different ways you can go with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really incredible. But I want to also tell you about a real quick, I've got an art grant that I'm hoping to get a grant from Houston Arts Alliance. So if you're from the Arts Alliance, give me that grant. actually, it's a blind granting situation. Mm. But anyway, but I want to do a deck of 52 cards. You know, there's 52 cards in a deck. I have a different igniting tip on each of the cards. So I have 52, I have like 80 different ways to ignite your life. Just in general, like, you know, give flowers to a stranger, you know, dance at a bus stop, you know, exchange names with people everywhere you go, that kind of thing.
Right.
So I want to have one tip on each card, but I also want to have a photo from my project of 52 different people in Houston. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be people that nobody knows. I mean, I don't want it, you know, I've done talks with Denise Parker and Dr. Kleinberg and all kinds of people that people know of, but I want it to be, you know, Camille at the, you know, who's a dental hygienist. I want it to be, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just people that that we don't know, because because everybody has an interesting story.
Absolutely. Know? Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a wonderful way to kind of wrap up is that, you know, well, I don't, what poet said we live lives of quiet desperation or something like that?
Henry David Thoreau.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was a depressed guy, huh?
Well, but he's so accurate
in that. But he's so right.
Because you see people that are just not ignited.
Right.
They're not living their lives.
Right.
I mean, I saw a waiter like that today who just looked like he was tortured every time he brought a meal to somebody, you know, their dish. And it's just like, dude, smile. And on my art car, you know, if you see me driving around, I've got Ignite on the license plate. I-9, because they didn't have the G available. But anyway, on the front of it, I have the word smile. You know, because that is the easiest way to ignite. I mean, we're smiling at each other right now. I mean, igniting through smiling, through eye connection. I did a talk to homeless people at Search, and I had them sit together and tell each other their story. And I'm telling you, 15 minutes of that, and they were best friends, you know, because they never get to do that. They never get to tell their story to other people. They never look them in the eye.
Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think it's actually a great way to think about, you know, we're living in a very divisive world right now, but we forget that if you just sit down, you look someone in the eye, you hear what they have to say and you acknowledge it. You know, I think that there is tremendous power in that, you know.
Well, eyes are mirror to the soul, to sound cliche, but it's absolutely true. You know, you can tell. You know, there was something about, I'm not going to remember the story right, but, you know, if you look people in the eye when you're on picket lines or you make eye contact, you know, it just says a lot. So
I agree.
It can go a long way just doing that. So,
well, I'm so thrilled that you were able to come here and do this interview with me. It made life a lot more pleasant for me.
Oh, it was so much fun because there's so many stories.
I know. So go to your website, which is igniteyourownlife.com.
Right.
And you will see pictures with people holding signs, all kinds of different people, and their stories, and then links to other events that have to do with this project. Is that?
Yep. There's all my products and all that are below at the bottom of the page.
But
and we also have the new bracelets that we're making pictures of.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's right. And if you really want to ignite this kind of project, you can call KPFT and you could maybe consider donating to us. This is the first, now that I'm on the air, I'm going to take on the mantle of responsibility and ask for donations because I feel like that is the
absolutely.
It's the birthright.
And something I should say, 10% of all funds that I raise through this project, through the bracelets, you know, grants, whatever, anything, I actually give away 10% of all the money I make. But 10% goes to Teen and Family Services and Archway Academy, two organizations that work with sober teens.
Sober teens, right, and teens in recovery. So, please go to your website. Go to our website.
Go to everybody's website.
Just go to a website.
Make your website. Make your own website.
Ignite your life with a website.
Ignite your life with a website. Thank you, Laura, so much.
Thank
it was
you.
Great to talk.
Thanks.
KPFT is proud to be a media sponsor of Day for Night, the two-day winter art and music festival organized by Free Press right here in Houston, happening in and around the Silver Street Studios on the 19th and 20th of December. Day for Night will feature world-class musicians in various genres of digital art, providing an experience where sound and technology are merged and provide a new way for the audience to experience both. Internationally known artists from Janelle Monáe to Kendrick Lamar and the Philip Glass Ensemble are joined by local musicians and artists providing this immersive experience. You can find access to